لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد أما بعد We continue the tafsir of Sheikh Abdul Rahman Nasir al-Sa'di rahmatullahi alayhi We are particularly in verse 232 of Surah Al-Baqarah أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذا طلقتم النساء فبلغن أجلهن فلا تعضلوهن أن ينكحن أزواجهن إذا تراضوا بينهم بالمعروف ذلك يوعظ به من كان منكم يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر ذلكم أزكى لكم وأطهر والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون And when you have divorced women and they have fulfilled their term of their prescribed period, do not prevent them from marrying their former husbands if they mutually agree on reasonable basis. This instruction is an admonition from him among you who believe in Allah and the last day. That is more virtuous and purer for you. Allah knows and you know not. Wonderful. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله هذا خطاب لأولياء المرأة المطلقة دون الثلاث. This particular speech here is directed to the guardian of the woman who's been divorced but before the third divorce. Meaning, she's still in the phase or the area where he's able to bring her back. Remember? طيب. إذا خرجت من العدة وأراد زوجها أن ينكحها ورضيت بذلك فلا يجوز لوليها من أب وغيره أن يعضلها أن يمنعها من التزوج به حنقا عليه وغضبا واشمئزازا لما فعل من الطلاق الأول. The Sheikh said, meaning, if her idda, if her waiting period is over, so he divorced her the first time. طيب, the idda was 3 menstrual cycles. The 3 menstrual cycles were over. Now her husband decides he wants to take her back, and she agrees. It is not permissible for her father or anyone else to prevent that marriage to take place, to prevent that marriage from taking place because he's upset and angry due to the fact that this man has divorced his daughter the first time. Because that's what happens, right? He divorces her, she's on her waiting period, it's over, she goes home, then the husband says, okay, I want to get my wife back. And the father will say, no. You divorced my daughter, get out of here. I'm not going to let you have her again. But Allah says, if the man wants to take his wife back and she agrees, the father has no business. No one has the right to prevent them from going back to one another. And Allah reminded them, وَذَكَّرَ أَنَّ مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ وَذَكَّرَ أَنَّ مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَإِيمَانُهُ يَمْنَعُهُ مِنَ الْعَقْلِ And Allah mentioned that whoever believes in Allah and the last day, his iman will prevent him from preventing them. Yani the father, if he really believes in Allah and the last day, and he knows Allah said in the Quran, don't stop them, don't prevent them, his belief in Allah will prevent him from saying, no, you cannot take my daughter back. He will allow her to go back to him. Wa alaykum salam, ahlan akhim. فَذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ وَأَطْهَرُ That is more pure for you and more virtuous for you and purer. وَأَطْيَبُ مِمَّا يَظُنُّ الْوَلِيُّ أَنَّ عَدَمَ تَزْوِيجِهِ هُوَ الرَّأْيُ وَاللَّائِقُ وَأَنَّهُ يُقَابِلُ بِطَلَاقِهِ الْأَوَّلِ بِعَدَمِ تَزْوِيجِهِ كَمَا هُوَ عَادَةُ الْمُتَرَفِّعِينَ الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ Okay, this is more virtuous and purer. It is purer because purer than what the guardian, the wali, thinks. That his idea is not allowing the man to marry his daughter again is more pure as a payback, as a revenge for having divorced her the first time. So the idea of the father, you divorced my daughter. The best thing right now is that I do not allow you to marry her again. As a what? As a recompense, as an equal recompense for divorcing her the first time. Because you divorced her, I'm not going to let her go back to you. But Allah said, if the man wants to take his wife back within the first two divorces, and she agrees, the father has no right to say no. They go back to each other. Okay, so it is purer in this sense. If a man divorced his wife, her period, her waiting period was over, but it's the first divorce, he has the right to take her back, and she has the right to go back to him. If they both agree, like you remember, like Abdul Hadi, Allah is al Haq. We have to go back and repeat all the other classes. We said divorce is two times, three times. After the third time, when he has divorced her the third time and a waiting period has ended, then she becomes totally divorced from him. So much so that she cannot marry him unless she marries another man and she has a relationship with him and he divorces her, then she can go back to the first. But if they haven't divorced three times, only the first time, she is still, legitimate for him to take her back. Because that's why divorce is three times in Islam, not once. Anyways, Sahib. And this is the way of the arrogant people who doesn't want to, you know, no, you divorce my daughter? No, no more, no more. But Allah said, if they want to go back, let them go back. This is purer for them. This is more virtuous, without a doubt. فَإِنْ كَانَ يَظُنَّ اللَّهُ مَصَّحَ بِعَدَمْ تَزْوِيجِهِ فَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And if he thinks that there's benefit, the benefit is in not allowing the man to marry his daughter again, then Allah says to him, verily Allah knows and you know not. You don't know anything. فَامْتَثِلُوا أَمْرَ مَنْ هُوَ عَالِمُ بِمَصَالِحِكُمْ. Then obey, fulfill the command of the one who knows what is best for you. مريد لها قادر عليها. Allah intends them and He is able to do them, these good things, these beneficial matters. ميسر لها من الوجه الذين تعرفون وغيره. Allah will facilitate that through means which you know and means which you do not know. Through means which you know and otherwise. وفي هذه الآية دليل على أنه لا بد من الولي في النكاح لأنه نهى الأولياء عن العقد. ولا ينهاهم إلا عن أمر هو تحت تدبيرهم ولو في حق. In this ayah, there's an evidence that marriage cannot take place without a wali, which is a guardian, one who is in charge of this woman. Because Allah here said that, now there must be a wali who will not prevent her from going back. If there was no wali, then the choice would be hers. But the fact that the wali was mentioned, meaning a wali is a condition for the legitimacy, the legitimacy of a marriage. There must be a guardian. You know, like what happens in some of the crazy, among the, some of the crazy people today, you know, a man meets a woman, right? And they like each other, and they say, okay, we're going to get married. So she says to him, I have given you myself in marriage. And he says, I have accepted you in marriage. And then they go to the hotel. That's zina. No guardian, no witnesses. She must have a representative. If she says, my father is dead, we say, we look for your, you know, we look for relatives, your uncle, your brother. There's a chain of people. If all the men in her family are dead, or she's the only Muslim in her family, and everybody else is a Christian, and Christians cannot be guardians over Muslim women, then we go to the masjid and we find an imam. Any Muslim that is righteous, we say, brother, you will be the guardian for the sister. But someone must represent the sister in marriage. She cannot give herself in marriage away. Kapish? Good. Now, and Allah will not prevent them except something which they have the right over and under their care. Fine. ثم قال تعالى والوالدات يرضعن أولادهن حولين كاملين لمن أراد أن يتم الرضاعة وعلى المولود له رزقهن وكسوتهن بالمعروف لا تكلف نفس إلا وسعها لا تضار والدة بولدها ولا مولود له بولده وعلى الوارث مثل ذلك فإن أرادا فصالا عن تراض منهما وتشاور فلا جناح عليهما وإن أردتم أن تسترضعوا أولادكم فلا جناح عليكم إذا سلمتم ما آتيتم بالمعروف واتقوا الله واعلموا أن الله بما تعملون بصير. Verse 233, it says, the mothers, we have a new system today. The mothers shall give suck to their children for 2 whole years. That is for those parents who desire to complete the term of suckling. But the father of the child shall bear the cost of the mother's food and clothing on a reasonable basis. No person shall have a burden laid on him greater than he can bear. No mother shall be treated unfairly on account of her child, nor father on account of his child. And on the father's heir is incumbent the like of that which was incumbent on the father, if they both decide on weaning, weaning meaning to stop the nursing, by mutual consent, and after due consultation, there is no sin on them. And if you decide on a foster suckling mother for your children, there is no sin on you, provided you pay the mother what you agreed to give her on reasonable basis. And fear Allah, and know that Allah is the all-seer of what you do. The Shaykh says, هذا خبر بمعنى الأمر تنزيلا له منزلة المتقرر الذي لا يحتاج إلى أمر. Wow. This is an imperative sentence. If you know English literature, we have 4 kinds of sentences, right? Interrogative, the one which ends with a question mark, how are you? And imperative, where there's a command or a request, sit down. Brother, close the door, right? Exclamatory, which has to do with an exclamation mark, you know, like a... No. Interrogative is question. Exclamatory is the exclamation mark, which is, this is a fast plane! Okay? You know, you're reacting. And declarative. Trust me, man, I teach this all the time. Don't even be thinking after that. He's still trying to make sure that it's declarative. And declarative, which is a declaration and information. The news begin at 8 o'clock. Okay? 4 kinds of sentences. So, imperative, command or request. Declarative, just an information. News being narrated to us. Now this is important because, so we understand the ayah. The ayah comes in the declarative form, even though the intent behind it is imperative. I'll give you an example. Instead of me saying, brothers, I want you to be here next Friday by 9:30 sharp. Okay? No one is going to be late a minute. Instead of making such a command or request, I say, the class will begin at 9:30. You see that? Instead of using the imperative, I'm using the declarative. But you all understand what I mean. When I say the class will begin at 9:30, meaning, brother, you better be here by 9:30. And I mean this. Right now. I'm gonna get 2 birds with 1 stone, right? I don't want to see brothers walking in late, man. You see what I'm saying? So now here, Allah says that, and the women are suckling their children for 2 years. What is intended here is that they're being commanded to do so. However, it was mentioned in the form of the declarative because the imperative is understood. This is in many cases in the Quran, but this is not the time to elaborate on that. ولما كان الحول يطلق على الكامل وعلى معظم الحول قال كاملين. And when the word حول or year is usually given or describing either a complete year or almost a complete year, Allah said كاملين, complete. So that word complete was used with the word year to make sure that the 2 years are completed. Beautiful. For those who want to complete the suckling, that is. فَإِذَا تَمَّ لِلْرَضِيعِ حَوْلَانِ فَقَدْ تَمَّ رِضَاعَهُ وَصَارَ اللَّبَنْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ بِمَنْزِلَةِ سَائِرِ الْأَغْذِيَةِ. If the suckling or the breastfeeding has been completed for 2 years, then whatever comes after falls under the general food. General means of nutrition, right? فَلِهَذَا كَانَ الرِّضَى بَعْدَ الْحَوْلَيْنِ غَيْرُ مُعْتَبَرْ لَا يُحَرِّمْ غَيْرُ مُعْتَبَرْ لَا يُحَرِّمْ. This is why a baby suckling after the passage of 2 years, وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ, you missed the example.
This I will repeat it, inshallah, maybe. This is why the suckling after the 2 years, this is not considered. For example, you know how you can have a mother, foster mother. If it is done after the 2 years, it doesn't count. Okay? It doesn't make the two people prohibited upon each other. ويؤخذ من هذا النص ومن قوله تعالى وحمله وفصاله 30 شهرا عليكم السلام أن أقل مدة الحمل 6 أشهر وأنه يمكن وجود الولد بها. And we understand from this ayah along with the other ayah and his carrying him and weaning him is in 30 months, that the minimum duration of pregnancy is 6 months and a child may be produced thereof. Okay? Now. وعلى المولود له أي الأب رزقهن وكسوتهن بالمعروف. Now upon the father is their sustenance and the clothing on reasonable basis. وهذا شامل لما إذا كانت في حباله أو مطلقة. And this is applicable in both cases, whether she is still under his care or she has been divorced. فَإِنَّ عَلَى الْأَبِّ رِزْقُهَا. It is upon the father to provide provision. أَيْنَ فَقَتَهَا وَقِسْوَتَهَا وَهِيَ الْأُجْرَةُ لِلْرِضَعِ. Which is spending on her and clothing her, and that is equal to the wages for breastfeeding. Wages as in like a salary that she receives for breastfeeding. ودل هذا على أنها إذا كانت في حباله لا يجب لها أجرة غير النفقة والكسوة وكل بحسب حاله. This indicates that if she is still under his care, then there's no wages for the breastfeeding. Rather, it is only clothing and feeding and spending, you know, whatever is she requires to survive. وكل بحسب حاله, each according to his situation and ability. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. فلهذا قال لا تكلف نفس إلا وسعها. No soul shall be burdened beyond its scope or beyond its ability. فلا يكلف الفقير أن ينفق نفقة الغني ولا من لم يجد شيئا بالنفقة حتى يجد. So a person who is poor is not expected to be spending in a manner equal to the one who is rich. Furthermore, the one who is so poor that he cannot find anything to spend is not expected to spend, period, until such time where he is able to spend. لا تضار والدة بولدها ولا مولود له بولده. That no mother shall be harmed due to her child, and a father should not be harmed due to his child either. أي لا يحل أن تضار الوالدة بسبب ولدها إما أن تمنع من إرضاعه أو لا تعطى ما يجب لها من النفقة والكسوة والأجرة. No woman should be harmed due to her son or her child, either by her being prevented from suckling, from breastfeeding them, or that she is not giving what is due to her from provision or clothing or wages. ولا مولود له بولده بأن تمتنع من إرضاعه على الوجه المضر له. Or a woman harmed the father by deliberately refusing to nurse the child as means of harming him. أو تطلب زيادة عن الواجب ونحو ذلك. Or she requires more wages than what is necessary. ونحو ذلك من أنواع الضرر. And similar kinds of harm. ودل قوله مولود له أن المولود لأبيه لأنه موهوب له ولأنه من كسبه. And the statement of Allah مولود له, meaning born to him, is an indication that the child belongs to the father, because Allah had said that he was granted to him. Yes, at the end of the day, the last name, you go by your father. It's not like the woman, it is not her child, but ultimately it belongs to the father, as in he carries his last name, he follows his religion in every well. In the case of religion, whoever is a Muslim among the parents, then it becomes obligatory on the children to follow that parent, whether it's a male or a female. But this is important, because what do we say about children who came into existence through fornication? If a woman was to cheat on her husband, may Allah forbid, and she becomes pregnant, and then you know they find out, he catches or whatever, she admits that this is not his child, then the child is hers. And he does not carry the last name of his father. And if his mother's name is Rabia, and her name is, her son's name is Ahmed, he would be called Ahmed bin Rabia.
So the name of the
father is out of the picture. The boy belongs to the bed. What Rasulullah ﷺ said belongs to the mother, the one who fornicated. And you know, he's not named after his father. It's nothing. It's her responsibility. New students. Okay. Beautiful. So where were we now? Where were we? فلذلك جاز له الأخذ من ماله رضي أو لم يرضى بخلاف الأم. This is why it's permissible for the father to take from his son's فلوس, whether he likes it or not. Unlike the mother, she doesn't have this particular رزق. عليكم السلام. أهلا. عليكم السلام. Okay. Yes, sir. وقوله على الوارث وعلى الوارث مثل ذلك. Let's see here. We're following this technology in this day and time. No mother shall be treated. Okay, right here. Father on account. And on the father's heir, which is those who will inherit him in his inheritance, is incumbent the like of that which was incumbent on the father. Beautiful. So we can stick to the context. Okay. على وارث الطفل إذا عدم الأب وكان الطفل ليس له مال مثل ما على الأب من النفقة للمرضع والكسوة. The one who inherits the father, in case if the father has passed away, and the one who will take care, who will take or play his role concerning that child, then it's upon him to do the same thing in terms of spending and giving the woman the wages for breastfeeding or nursing, and the kiswa, clothing, and nafaqa, spending money. فدل على وجوب نفقة الأقارب المعسرين على القريب الوارث الموسر. And there's an evidence that it is compulsory that the rich family members, it's compulsory on them to spend on their poor family members, to aid them and help them out. فإن أراد أي الأبوان فصالا أي فطام الصبي قبل الحولين. Now if both the father and the mother come to common terms that they want to terminate the nursing, it's supposed to be 2 years, right? We said it was an imperative sentence. It was an imperative rule in the form of a declarative sentence, where it was mentioned as information, but the intent was a command. But if they both decide, okay, we only want to have the child nurse for a year, okay, we don't want to complete the 2 years, and both the mom and the dad agree, because if one of them doesn't agree, then this is not the case. If both of them agree that they want to stop, عن تراض منهما أي بأن يكونا راضيين, that they both satisfied, وتشاور, and after consultation, they consult one another, right? فيما بينهما على هل هو مصلح للصبي أم لا, is this suitable for the child or not? Because maybe, you know, stopping the nursing may be harmful for the child.
When you say that, that's breastfeeding or
breastfeeding? Breastfeeding, yeah. Right. I'm sorry. Maybe in British context, you guys have some strange... You don't even call a diaper. I heard you call it a napkin. That's enough for me, man. That's enough for me. Anyways. طيب فإن كان مصلحة له فلا جناح عليهما. So if they both find it that this is suitable for the child, it's good for the child, فلا جناح عليهما في فطامه قبل الحولين. There's no sin on them to wean him, that we agree on, before 2 years, right? To wean him, meaning to stop the nursing or the breastfeeding before 2 years. فدلت الآية بمفهومهما على أنه إن رضي أحدهما دون الآخر أو لم يكن مصلح للطفل أنه لا يجوز فطامه. So we understand from the ayah that either if they don't agree, if one of them is in disagreement concerning the issue, or we find that it is not suitable for the child, it is not permissible for them to wean the child before 2 years. We're speaking here that a woman is obliged to nurse her child for 2 years. Huh? Not an option, it is a command by Allah. according to the tafsir of the Shaykh, unless they both agree that we don't want to do that. Unless both parents say, we don't want to do that. If one of them says, I want my child to be nursed, then this must be done. If the woman doesn't agree, he finds another woman, but the child has the right to be nursed for 2 years. Of course, today in the medical world, they've discovered tremendous benefits in nursing that is unparalleled in any other form of nutrition for the child. I mean, whatever they give them, you know, this, the other kind of powder milk, and it doesn't do the job. It doesn't do the job like the mother's milk, subhanAllah. So Allah knows best what is suitable for His creation. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ وقوله وإن أردتم أن تسترضعوا أولادكم أي تطلبوا لهم المرضع غير أمهاتهم على غير وجه المضارة. If you choose to have your children nursed by other than their mothers without intending to cause harm to the mothers, فلا جناح عليكم إذا سلمتم ما أتيتم بالمعروف. There's no harm on you to do so if you deliver what is due to them according to reasonable basis. To those who are nursing, meaning someone may choose that he wants this ex-woman to nurse his child. Yeah, I mean, whether people do it or not, Allah knows best, right? You will find in some maybe rural areas, people are still living a little, you know, according to the old days. Or it may be, because the deen of Allah is applicable through all times, that human beings go through phases. Meaning at some point in time, some of the rulings will not be applicable because of the nature of our lifestyles. However, they shall come a time, or there may come a time where we go back to the old ways. For example, Prophet ﷺ spoke about the usage of horses and things of this nature in wars and battlefields. And people say, now, how could that be today? You know, we got tanks and but you never know. I mean, there may be a nuclear bomb that will destroy all of the everything on earth. But people will remain alive who are living under some, you know, down, deep down under the ground. They survive. And then when they go back out, they have no means of producing any kinds of weaponry, right? Because they've lost everything. And the only thing that will be available is a horse, right? We don't know, right? This is all hypothetically speaking. I'm not saying this is gonna happen, but we don't, you know, we don't say, well, how, this is not applicable. Allah knows where it applies, when it applies, or whether it will stop applying for some time and then go back to becoming applicable again. It's beyond our, you know, human comprehension, so we leave it as is. أن الله بما تعملون بصير. And know that Allah sees all that which you do. فمجازيكم على ذلك بالخير والشر. So Allah will reckon you on the day of judgment with good or with evil, depending on whether you do good or you do evil. So it's like an equal recompense. طيب verse 234. والذين يتوفون منكم ويذرون أزواجا يتربصن بأنفسهن أربعة أشهر وعشرا فإذا بلغن أجلهن فلا جناح عليكم فيما فعلن في أنفسهن بالمعروف والله بما تعملون خبير. Someone read verse 234 please this time.
And those who live and leave wives behind them, the wives shall reign as regard their marriage for 4 months and 10 days. Then when they have fulfilled their term, there is no sin on you if the wife disposed of themselves in a just and honorable manner. Example, they can marry, and Allah is well acquainted with what to do.
Barakallah feek. The Shaykh says, rahimahullah, أي إذا توفى الزوج مكثت زوجته متربصة أو متربصة أربعة أشهر وعشرة أيام وجوبا. If a man dies, the woman becomes a
widow.
Good. She is to remain unmarried, let's use the word for now, unmarried, for 4 months and 10 days. 4 months and 10 days. Time out. Let's say he dies on the 31st of December. Okay? Does that mean that we do January 31 days, February, let's say, 29 days, right, March, huh?
No.
So what would... It's the solar calendar, man! Come on, you brother! I'm trying to trick you here! We're not because the lunar calendar is unlike the solar calendar. We have to go by the moon sighting. So the month may be 30 days or 29, right? So the 4 months and 10 days according to the Islamic calendar, which may be less than the lunar one. Because January is 31st day, 31 days, you know, always. But in Islam, you know, the month of the first month of the year may be 29 days or 30 days. Still 1 year, 1 day discrepancy. And you know, that could go on for 4 months.
But we
don't
follow the Islamic calendar.
Dur. Abdul-Aziz, man.
Because he was in
we have to follow the Islamic calendar. Even if you really want to know your age, I mean, many of us don't use this. Your age is not according to, you know, you being born on January 1st, 1980. Your year is when you were born according to the Hijri calendar. You may be older, by the way. You will be older. So if I was born, for example, I was born on the 12th of Safar. 12th of Safar, 1400. Which today makes me 31 years old. According to the lunar, and 31 and some months, according to the Gregorian calendar, I just became 31 in January. Right? So I had been 31 years old before, while I was 30 in the Gregorian calendar and the lunar calendar. And when people ask me, I say 31 according to the lunar calendar. And you should do the same. You can go online, just put on Google Hijri Gregorian conversion thingy, and then you put your date of birth according to the Gregorian calendar, and it will automatically convert it to Hijri. So you will know when you were born according to the Islamic calendar, okay?
Okay,
and that'll be every time you use the service, you pay me 5 riyal. People don't want to get the
water.
Tayyib. Okay, let's not get out of hand here. Ma'alesh, let's stick to the business. We can continue our stuff after the dance, inshallah. Abshir. I lost where. Okay, anyway, so that's 4 months and 10 days according to the lunar calendar. والحكمة بذلك ليتبين الحمل في مدة الأربعة ويتحرك في ابتداء في الشهر الخامس. The wisdom behind that if you were pregnant, you know, usually some women vary, especially large women. I remember reading on the news not that long ago on the internet news that some really big woman, obese woman, she delivered a child without knowing that she was pregnant. She was standing there washing dishes, the next thing you know, a child comes out. She, wallah, she was so big that she didn't know she was pregnant. I don't know, brother. I was as shocked as you. I'm sitting there, look, man. Don't ask me. You know, call her and say, lady, what were you thinking? But the lady was so huge that pregnancy couldn't even appear on her. So anyway, just because these people do exist, usually a woman would be able to tell, right? But that period was given, so in case she's pregnant, it will become clear within 4 months and 10 days, assuming she was pregnant just before he died. By the time she's 5 months pregnant, she will start to have a bump on her stomach. You know, you'll be able to see that there's pregnancy. It's no longer a secret. Keep in mind there was no ultrasound, no doctors, you know, should, you know, go and visiting every other week where they're doing checkups. People were living according to the, you know, back in the day's lifestyle. Right? So this was yani, very suitable for them. Ajeeb, huh? وَهَذَا الْعَامْ مَقْصُوص بِالْحَوَامِلِ Now, and this is because the special ruling concerning pregnant women is that their idda ends upon delivering the child. Upon delivering the child. وكذلك الأمة عدتها على النصف من عدة الحرة شهران وخمسة أيام. The right hand possession, the slave woman that is, her idda, her waiting period is half of the free one, which is two months and 5 days. Instead of 4 months and 10 days, 2 months and 5 days. وقوله فإذا بلغنا أجلهن أي انقضت عدتهن. Once their waiting period is over, so now we have two kinds of waiting period. The waiting period of the woman who has been divorced by her husband, and that is equal to 3 menstrual cycles, right? Or if she's pregnant, upon delivering the child. Right? Her iddah is over when she delivers the child. The second kind of iddah, also called iddah, is for the woman who is widowed. due to the death of her husband, obviously. Her iddah is 4 months and... Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
You're welcome.
4 months and 10 days. Ya Khalid Bustanera.
How was the time period of time?
10:15. Just 45 minutes late, mashallah. طيب. فلا جناح عليكم فيما فعلنا في أنفسهن. There is no sin on you concerning that which they do to themselves. أي من مراجعتها للزينة والطيب. During that time, the woman is to abandon all kinds of adornments. A woman, during the period where her husband died, after his death, she does not adorn herself. In fact, she shouldn't leave the house. Unless it is necessary. Unless it is necessary. This is the... Yes. If it is not necessary, like for example, a woman who is attending school and she's learning the deen, I read the fatwa of Shaykh bin Baz rahimahullah that she may go because there's nothing more important than seeking knowledge. If she has to go to Jawazat to finish some paperwork, she has to go to some government agencies to do some paperwork. Important going out, even shopping, because I mean she needs. If there's no one to do it for her, she may leave. But anything other than that, no, because during a waiting period. We said she may be pregnant. If she meets a man, she's free to get married soon, right? Her husband died. She may meet a man, they get married, and he has a relation with her, and her pregnancy is from her dead husband. That's a big problem, you see? So even though some people, may have faces like, oh, why this woman is not allowed? This is from the wisdom of Allah. Everything has been ordained and legislated in a manner which is suitable for the creation. We may have, we may be short-sighted. We may not be able to really look into it in this fashion, but Allah is wise. So this is to protect people from many dangerous paths by, people sticking to the rules. So a woman is to chill at home, she doesn't wear adornment, she doesn't wear any perfume, she doesn't, beautify herself.
That's why they wear the black dress.
Well, there's nothing that suggests that she wears a black dress either. This is a Christian custom available among the Christians that has no basis in Islam. That a woman must wear a particular color. What is it? What is intended that she does not adorn herself. She does not beautify herself so that, she remains, free from being, requested to marry someone or being proposed to. بالمعروف على غير وجه محرم ولا مكروه. In a manner which is not forbidden or even disliked. وفي هذا وجوب الإحداد مدة العدة على المتوفي عنها زوجها دون غيرها. And this is an evidence that there's this period of mourning, I guess, but not as done in the Christian world and otherwise, where a woman will just beat herself and smack herself and rip her clothes and things along these lines. We have a very subtle way of being sad. We are pleased with the decree of Allah. We know that this is life. There's life and death and everything. But of course, there's no extra entertainment in the process. But nothing extreme where people become dissatisfied with the decree of Allah and they say silly stuff like why and what did I do and why me. All this is nonsense. You don't ask Allah why something happened to you. You don't know anything. Anyways, it's Allah who knows. نعم, this is only for the husband though and not anyone else. دون المطلقات والمفارقات وهو مجمع عليه بين العلماء. This is not applicable for the woman who has been divorced. So for instance, if a woman was married to a man, he divorced her, then he died, then this is not applicable to her. This is only for the woman who was still married to this man at the time of his death. Wallahu, and this is something that the ulama have agreed upon, it's consensus on this issue. Wallahu bima ta'amaluna khabir, and Allah is regarding what you do, all-knowing.
Mamnoor.
Oh, big mamnoor. Maybe there's a confiscation after the verse, inshallah. أي عالم بأعمالكم ظاهرها وباطنها جليها وخفيها فمجازيكم عليها. Meaning Allah knows everything concerning your deeds, the outwardly ones and the hidden ones. The ones that are, both these are like synonymous, I can't really translate them twice. So Allah will reckon you for them. وفي خطابه للأولياء بقوله فلا جناح عليكم فيما فعلنا في أنفسهم دليل على أن الولي ينظر على المرأة ويمنعها مما لا يجوز فعله أو فعله ويجبرها على ما يجب وأنه مخاطب بذلك واجب عليه. Now when Allah said to those who are in charge, the guardians, that there is no sin on you concerning what the women do to themselves, is an evidence that the guardian is responsible to look into the affair of a woman whom he is responsible for, and to prevent her from that which is impermissible, force her to do that which is obligatory, and that he is responsible for that. It's an obligation upon him. Meaning, if you, your daughter, it is your responsibility how she handles herself. Right? It's not like none of your business, as it is in the case with the Western world. You know, once the daughter or the son becomes of a particular age, of 18, according to some countries, now they're independent. The parents have absolutely no say. Right? And if they talk too much, they call the police. Say, you know, my father's bothering me. He's telling me how to lead my life. It's none of his business. And the police will come and say, what do you want from me? What do you want from this lady? You know, stop talking to her. That's my daughter. They don't have this kind of, you know, understanding. Anyways, in Islam this is not the case. Your daughter better act right according to your rules. Now, we have to be wise. We don't want them to be forced to do something before explaining to them why. Because what happens if you force them and they only do it to please you, as soon as you're out of the picture, they will go back to their old ways. Right? So we don't want Islam to be like a ritual practiced by Muslims. That's why if you go on an airplane and you see the local people here, you know, whoever is living in the kingdom, whether it's Saudis or otherwise, many of them, as soon as they get on the plane, the woman, the hijab is off. You know? Like, so she was wearing a hijab for the people, not for Allah. Now, that's crazy. That's one of the craziest things in the world, right? So they go back to that, they go to the other country, khalas, no hijab, no nothing. And then as soon as they're back on the airport, you know, back in the airplane, before they land in Jeddah, you know, everybody's out there putting on a hijab, you know. Come on, man, they're fooling themselves. These people are fooling themselves. But these are what Allah described in the Quran as al-munafiqeen. It's hypocrisy. Riyah, yani, is a little maybe less dangerous than this. This is hypocrisy. This is like the hypocrites who used to come pray with the Prophet ﷺ, and inside they don't want to pray, you know, but they came and pray because it was part of their role. They're playing a role of being Muslims, but even though they're not, so to play the role they must join the Salah. So this is the same thing. It's dangerous, brothers. Yes, they're trying to trick Allah, and they're tricking themselves. You know, so Allah musta'an. This happens, by the way. This happens, unfortunately. And if you would like to know more about women, and hold on a second, man. Let me finish my sentence, brother. Monday, the 22nd of February, inshallah. The 22nd of February in the International Medical Center, there will be a lecture titled, Is This Woman Going to Jannah? Is This Woman Going to Jannah? And we'll be dealing with many things pertaining to women. So if you would like to know what's up, then join us on February 22nd at 8:45 p.m. at the International Medical Center. 8:45. Later, inshallah. We're still in the dars, ya Shaykh. Now, so anyways, it's the responsibility of the man then to look after the woman. But again, we want to instill iman in them. It is not dictatorship, you know. That doesn't work. You may have to, you know, use these means, you know. Unfortunately, at the times of difficulty, this is like you have no choice. But we don't want that. We want iman. We want the lady herself to be inclined towards obedience and modesty. So we want her to love what she's doing, so that whether you are alive or not, whether you are present or not, whether she is around the people in this country or not, she will always put on the hijab. She will always protect herself, because this is something that she's doing willingly, because faith is asking her to do so, not the culture or the people or the family members. Very important, and it's a major disease among the Muslims. We need to rid ourselves from it, and then those around us eventually. So let us conclude, inshallah, with this particular ayah. Inshallah, if we remain alive till next week, we will be dealing with other matters pertaining to marriage and divorce and engagement and very important things pertaining to marriage in Islam. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.